At the end of the parsha, we are told about the infamous episode of Miriam and the comments she made about her younger brother Moshe. And after the tzaras that she gets, we are also told about the most famous and the shortest tefillah that we have in the entire Tanakh, Kelna Refah Na'alah, that had Moshe Rabbeinu davens for his sister Miriam to be cured. And that leads to the question and a discussion in the postgames we'll discuss about the concept of turning towards a tzaddik, turning towards a righteous person to daven on our behalf. Because there we have Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't say that Miriam davened for herself. It doesn't say that Miriam's children davened for her. It doesn't say that Miriam's husband davened for her. The Torah says that her brother, Moshe, was the one who davened on her behalf, who was undoubtedly the Gadol Hador. I think that's without question. He was the greatest of the generation. And we see something special about the tefillah of this tzaddik. So let's just begin to talk a little bit about davening for others and turning to other people for brachos. One of the first times we have a bracha for somebody else in the Torah is when Lavan leaves Yaakov after the final meeting between him and his family, and it says Vayivarech Asan. It says that Lavan blessed his family and his children. So the Sforno asks, it's a funny thing, Lavan was a Rasha, he was a terrible person. Why are we looking at or highlighting the bracha of this not such nice guy? And he says that when a father blesses his children, it emanates from the depth of the neshama. Kvar amru alti birchas hedios kalabe necha. The Gemara says the blessing of a regular person should not be light in your eyes. Amnam siper birchas lavan levinosav laharos shebirchas ha'av asher hi al banav b'chol nafsho. The blessing of a father towards his children comes from the deepest places of the neshama. It comes from my nefesh. And therefore, says the Sforno, even the Lavan was not such a nice guy. And you would think, why does Hashem care for his brachos? Nevertheless, the depth of where the bracha comes from inside the person is effective regardless of the character of the person who gives the bracha. Now, what about the source of the effectiveness of a bracha of a tzaddik? Well, in Malachim Beis, in Perek Dal, we know of the story of the Isha Shunamis, right? We know of the Shunammite woman who didn't have a child, and she was blessed with a child, and eventually the child would die, and Elisha would have to go now and bring the child back to life. In explaining why Elisha had the ability to remove her child, to revive the child, so or to promise her a child in the first place, so the Malbim has what to say over there. And the Malbim says, Ayidei tefila o derech neis v'shidur hateva. He says one thing is that Elisha was simply pulling strings behind the scene. It was a miracle. He was able to do things other people couldn't do. He was such a tzaddik, and for that reason he was able to promise and guarantee a child, whereas perhaps you and I do not have the ability to demand such a thing. But later the Malbim makes the following point, and he says, Shelo haya al yedei tefila, v'rak al yedei devar Elisha v'gzeiraso hatzadik gozer Hashem mekayim. And he says that it wasn't an aspect of tefila at all. It wasn't davening. It was simply that he was a tzaddik, and a tzaddik can be gozer. A tzaddik can demand something of Hashem, and Hashem has to fulfill it. The Radak also says that the promise came through bitachon, nevuah, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu would carry out his word. So the Malbim again gives two approaches. Either the tzaddik's davening is more effective, or even without davening, the tzaddik essentially makes a demand of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and Hashem, his hand is forced to follow through with that demand. The Mabit has a beautiful piece in the Sefer Beis Elokim. Beis Elokim, we've quoted it time and again here. It's really a remarkable set of hashkafa from a remarkable Gadol Yisrael. It's not studied that much, possibly because it's very long and there's a lot of different chapters to it. I don't know. I feel like art school is translating all types of ridiculous things. I don't know why this is not on their list of things to translate. It's really a beautiful sefer. So in the Shar Yesodos and Berachah Beis, he agrees with the Malbim. The Mabit says there are times when the tzaddik can cause things to happen without the permission of Hashem. The tzaddik is able to, cause things to work, even without Hashem's, prior knowledge, so to speak. Obviously, Hashem knows everything, but without Hashem's initial plan, as things are supposed to be in the realm of Midas Hadin, he makes a promise, and he's batuach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will carry it out. And it's like Moshe Rabbeinu opening up the ground to swallow Korach, Yoshua to have the sun stand in Givah. When Elisha, we see that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechai Mesim Rofei Cholim, he remembers the barren woman, so too Elisha did all these things without mentioning or davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, in line with the second approach of the Malbim, that it's not tefillah when we ask the tzaddik to daven for us, it's simply the demand on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he was given the abilities on his own. The Mabit says, Hatzadikim kaviyachol moshlim b'masha HaKadosh Baruch Hu moshal. A tzaddik is able to control, so to be moshal, to be in charge of it. Yes, Dr. Hertzberg is not a fan of this approach. Yeah.
At least according to the Rambam, there's a continuum between hashgacha practice
and
one's connection to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. So therefore, a tzaddik has a greater connection to our Kaddish Baruch Hu than the average guy in the street.
Yeah.
That being the case, if you ask a tzaddik to daven in your behalf, then you're employing somebody who has that greater hashgacha practice.
Okay.
And if your issue becomes his issue, and he davens on your behalf, it seems to be like a relatively simple mechanistic approach.
Great.
Why it should be effective. Sounds like we have all these contortions of how, it works that it's set up on behalf of a plain person.
Okay, so that's the Rambam's approach. We'll get back to that approach later on. The Rambam's not the only thinker in Jewish history. That's the Rambam's approach. We'll come there soon. So, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh in the beginning of Shmos says that Kadosh Baruch Hu made the world, and the nature of the world was made on the condition to bend to the word of L'Torah V'Amalaha, to the Torah and those who engage in it, and do whatever these individuals ask of it. And the control of these Amelim B'Torah is like the control of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, says the Orach Chaim, Tzadikim Yechidim can control heaven and earth. And he says, HaKol B'Koach HaTorah. And the Orach Chaim really develops this idea that the greater a person's connection to Torah and knowledge of Torah allows them to engage in things, to do things perhaps somebody who is not as strong to be able to do, to say. Rav Dov Landau has been in America the last week, going to different yeshivas, so I'll just say something I once heard from him. He said that we see from the Orach Chaim that Amelim B'Torah are called tzaddikim, right? He seemingly mixes the two together. And even though we don't necessarily see that all Amelim B'Torah have this ability, it must be a Kadosh Baruch who wanted that some of them should have this, and others should not be known. I'll give you a good example of this. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. I think we're all familiar with the miraculous stories of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, the vinegar that burned through Shabbos, and all the miracles he did throughout Shas. I don't think you will find a single Maimer Halacha of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa in Bavli and Yerushalmi, as far as I know. All he is known is a Pol Yeshuas. He's a miracle worker. But we don't know him as someone who's a Mele in the Torah and to be a great Talmud Chacham. I'm not saying that he's not, but Chazal don't highlight him in that regard. It's fascinating to see that even though, again, the Orach Chaim Kadosh says that Amelus B'Torah and one's knowledge of Torah is a predicate on ability to have these abilities to daven in such a strong fashion, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa would seem to be, again, not saying he wasn't, but according to Orach Chaim Kadosh, he would have to be. But Chazal don't quote him in any way in Halacha as well. There's a Ran in Maseches Kedushin who says that there's no Halacha in standing for a tzaddik, meaning a righteous person versus someone who is a Talmud Chacham. And since there's no way to know if the person is truly a tzaddik, the Ran says, if you're a Talmud Chacham, so we can measure that. Either you know Shas, you don't know Shas. It's a very easy thing to measure. But if you're a tzaddik, well, how am I supposed to know you are actually a tzaddik? You might behave one way in public, but in the privacy of your home, you might behave differently. And therefore, the Ran says, there's no mitzvah to stand for a great guy, a really, really amazing human being. Because how am I supposed to know he's actually the real deal? A Talmud Chacham, we can know. A Talmud Chacham has a measurable, quantifiable arena that we can understand who he is. But again, not to go down that path too much. The Stipler in the Sefer Chayolim in Perek Lamed expands on the idea of the Kedusha of the Tanaim, their ability to change nature. Rishlomo Brevda in the Sefer on Shavuos Kima Vekiblu, he expands on the idea by the Baal HaLashem, the Rav Yashua's grandfather, regarding why the generation or the mission of the Gemara were given such incredible kochos and brachos, right? You read Mishnayos and Gemara, and they do all these incredible things, whether the Midrashim are literal or not literal. They seem to be on a more exalted level, and why those generations had those abilities as well. Nevertheless, we have a Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that a person has someone who's sick in their house, they should ask a chacham to pray for them. Based on a pasuk in Mishlei, Darash Rabbi Pinchas Bar Chama, Kol sheish l'chol b'soch besu, you have somebody ill in your house, Yelech etz l'chacham, go to a person who is wise, a Talmud Chacham. V'yivakesh l'avrachim, ask for him to daven and to have mercy for you. Shna Amar, it says in Mishlei, Chemas melech melech emavis v'yish chacham yichparena, the wrath of the king is like the angels of death. But a wise man will pacify it. A person who's a chacham is able to keep away the malachim of. So that's the Gemara. And that's the Gemara seems to be without question. You have someone who's sick, someone who's need refuah, go to Talmud Chacham to have them daven on your behalf. It's cited a lot by halacha, by the Ramah. The Ramah in the laws of Bikra Cholim and Yaradein Simin Shin Lamed Hey, he says, Yesh Omrim, there are those who say, Shemish Yesh Lo Cholim Beveso, someone who has someone ill in their house, Yelech Eitzel Chacham, they should go to Talmud Chacham, Shebi'ir, in your city, he qualifies, Shivakesh Lavrachimim, to ask for mercy on their behalf. The Aruch HaShulchan writes over there that this is in fact the source of saying Mishaberachs by Kriyas HaTorah. Because when we say the names of the Cholim over there, the rabbi, whoever it is, will hear those names and they'll daven on their behalf. And then he connects this idea to why we read out the names in Shul by leaning to this halacha. Now the problem with the Ramah is that he says Yesh Omrim. There are those who say. What do you mean those who say? It's a Gemara. The Gemara, where else in Shulchan Aruch do we have a clear Gemara that nobody argues in? And the Ramah is like, there are those who say you should do this. The Gemara says clearly you should go to a Talmud Chacham. So why does the Ramah say a Yesh Omrim? Implying that somebody disagrees. In fact, the Rambam never cites this Gemara. Again, a Gemara Mefureshes that would seem to clearly fit into the laws of Bikra Cholim, the laws of Tefillah, whatever it may be. And the Rambam totally ignores this Gemara, which is quite odd. So there are two approaches to what's going on here. The first is a tshuva from Rav Vazner in the Shevet Halevi in Chelek Gimel. And Rav Vazner cites the Meiri on that Gemara in Bava Basra. And the Meiri says that if you're sick and you go to the Chacham to learn how to daven, then you can be mevakesh rachamim for yourself. That's what it means, right? Go back and read the Gemara again. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Yelech Eitzel Chacham, V'yivakesh Lav Rachamim. What it means is to go to the Chacham, and he will then teach you how to be Mevakesh Rachamim for yourself on behalf of that Chola. The Pasuk in Mishlei means, V'yish Chacham Yichparena, that you can attain Kapara when the Chacham teaches you the keys to unlock the Shari Tefillah. You have the ability to do it. You daven for yourself. And therefore, there says Rav Vazner that we see from the Meiri that zelo pashut, that when somebody is sick, go to somebody else to have them daven your behalf. No, you go learn how to daven, and you take care of it yourself. And that's why the Ramah says a yesh omrim. There are some who say, because the Meiri would seem to interpret, not in that direction. In explaining the beautiful idea of Chacham Shebi'ir, right? The Ramah says, you should go to Chacham Shebi'ir, the one in your city. So Rav Vazner says beautifully, he says, you should go to your own local rabbi who's connected to you, who understands your Shorash HaNeshama, and therefore he's Mesugal to remove those bad gzeiros. He knows you. He understands your situation. There's a connection to you. He can relate to you. And he doesn't say, go to the Gadol HaDor. He says, go to Chacham Shebi'iro, your Rav who knows who you are, who's able to daven properly on your behalf and really connect to who you are. The second approach is that the source of the Ramah is really the Nemuka Yosef, there in Bava Basra. And the Nemuka Yosef writes, Deminag b'tzarfas, the meaning in France, so the Nemuka Yosef says something very different. He says you should go to the rabbi who's the Rosh Yeshiva to have him daven on your behalf. Perhaps, again, maybe because like the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, the koach of his Torah learning, his Torah teaching, maybe that gives him something that other people don't have. Now, perhaps it could be, we could suggest, that the Nemuka Yosef understands that our Gemara is referring to maybe great Gedolim who are able to daven, like they had in the days of the Gemara. We don't have people like that with those types of kochos anymore. I don't have a Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. I don't have a Rabbi Akiva. I don't have a Rabbi Meir. But says the Nemuka Yosef, we still have local tzaddikim, the Rabbanim, the local Rosh Yeshiva, the local Rebbe in the schools. They can effectively daven on your behalf of all people. And therefore the Ramah perhaps cites the Nemuka Yosef as a Yesh Omrim, because maybe the literal interpretation of the Gemara in Bava Basra is not relevant nowadays, because I don't have miracle workers, but I do have the local rabbi, the people in the community, and those individuals can daven on your behalf. The discussion, not for right now, is the famous shiloh that happened in Poland and Galicia in the 1800s of the person who was very ill, and he wanted the Belzer Rebbe, the Sar Shalom of Belz, to daven on his behalf, and the Rav of the community allowed Amir La'akam to write a kvittel on Shabbos and have it be delivered to the Belzer Rebbe in the neighboring town. And that led to a huge, huge machlokas between Shlomo Kluger, who wrote a shuvah in the shuvah's Tuv Tam Adas, saying the rabbi of that town is not allowed to paskin shayles anymore because he had made such a terrible mistake. And the Shaul Umeshi of Yosef Shaul Nathanson also wrote about it as well. And a whole big discussion about, can you ask a guy to do maybe a derabanan to have somebody daven your behalf on Shabbos and the effectiveness of that? Because the koach of davening, of a tzaddik davening on your behalf as well. But we're not going to discuss that sugya right now at this particular time. There is also a third opinion of the Tzitz Eliezer. The Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Tes says the Gemara is an Eitz Tova. It's a good idea. Do you have to go to the Chacham Daven? No. And therefore, the Rambam doesn't bring this idea, and the Rambam only brings a Ziyei Shomrim. It's a nice thing to do to go to the local rabbi in your city to have him daven. Do you have to do it? No, it's not a chiyuv. So those are the three approaches to understand what the halach is, what the minhag is, what the reasoning is behind this idea of going to a tzaddik to have daven on your behalf. Let's look now what I think Dr. Hertzberg is hinting to, which is the tshuva of the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik in Orachayim and Simon Reis Harigimel wonders why a tzaddik davening on our behalf does not violate the ikar of the Rambam, that we daven only to Hashem, and we don't turn towards intermediaries. So the Maram Shik says, Ki belav hachi guf hatfila she'achere mispalim ba'adish. When somebody else davens on behalf of a person, kasha lahavin, eich tasa roshem, how could that possibly even work? Let me explain how this works. Shapu'ula higam kein al derech zeh. Shal yidei hatzadik hamitzta'er b'tzaras acherim. The tzadik is pained over your pain. Merachem Hashem aleim, he'll have rachmanis on the tzadik. V'uachem min advarim sheroi sheyigrom rachman v'chesed. These are one of the things that should cause mercy and kindness. Shima onesh b'hara magia l'acherim, she'enem ruim l'onesh. Okay, you might deserve the punishment, the sickness that you're getting. But why should the local tzaddik in your community be pained over your pain? He didn't do anything wrong. In order to remove his pain over your pain, Hashem will take care of it. As roi shiasa lefnim mishuras adin, Hashem will go beyond the midah of din. Kmo shebir ha'akedim parshas v'igash, as Rabbi Yitzchak Rama writes in parshas v'igash, abakashas Yehuda meis Yosef over Binyamin, that Yehuda went to Yosef to protect Binyamin, v'alderach zabikesh Avram Avinu, chalil chala mis tzadikim rasha, that the people of Sodom should be saved, dan al-yedei tzaro, because Avram was in pain. Avram was saying, don't destroy Sodom, I'm going to be upset by it, Hashem, do it in my merit. The Gemara says in Bava Kama, right? If you daven for the other person, you both need the same thing. You'll be answered first for davening for somebody else. If you need that thing, as you'll be answered first. And your zchus will also be a meritus for others as well. And that's, again, how this would work according to the Maram Shik, probably in line with the Rambam's philosophy as well, that the tzaddik has a greater connection to Hashem. He davens because he's upset over your pain, and Hashem will listen to him in that regard. Let's look at a few discussions over here about this idea. Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the Orchos Yosher, a sefer that we went through over the last year, between Mincha Ma'ariv and the section on Ruach HaKodesh. And he says as follows, Ruach Chaim Vital B'Sefer Shari Kedusha, Chelek Nun, Shar Zayin Kasav, Vinei, Ba'oznenu Shamanu Be'inenu Rinu Yechidei Megula Hasigla Madregas Ruach HaKodesh B'Zmanenu, Zevayu Megidim Asidos. He says, there are such people in my time, he's writing in the 1500s, who were able to rise to the level of Ruach HaKodesh. But Tzarech Lomar Sheish Harbei Madregos Tamash Amru. There are many different levels of Ruach HaKodesh. It says in the Gemara Nistalka Ruach HaKodesh Mishrael, it says that Ruach HaKodesh left the Jewish people. Hakavana Al Navua, that means Navua Mamish, like the real thing. Shezen Nistalka Al Sheva Elio, that will not return until Elio Anavi comes. Amnam, Gam Ruach HaKodesh, even Ruach HaKodesh, Achakach Ish Kama Madregos. There's different levels of understanding and contemplation of God. Sometimes a chacham just has a sense of Ruach HaKodesh, meaning like a sense, an intuition, knows this is right. As the Chazanish refers to, Lefi hakamaso mashenirlo hakadosh baruch maskamos imo. Sometimes the chacham has an understanding of the way it should be, and Hashem agrees the way this chacham views the world. They showed inyan shemina shemaim nosin befiv mashlomer. Sometimes from shemaim something just comes into the mouth of the chacham. Va'afapish any odeh klal shazur ruach hakodesh. She doesn't even know this is a ruach hakodesh. Rak nosim lo machshava lomar kach v'kach v'mechav and lemes. He just has a machshava from shemaim that this is the MS. Sometimes a Talmid Chacham it gives a bracha, gives advice, and it's fulfilled. Because he does it for the right reasons. And sometimes the bracha is fulfilled in the merit of the person who is asking. Hashem looks at the person and says, he has such emuna in Chachamim, in the process of Torah in Mesorah, that the Chacham might not be such a great guy. But the Shoal of such a moon, says Rechan Kanievsky, that Hashem will carry it through. If he didn't really believe it, it wouldn't come true. This obviously depends on the questioner. I saw this many times by great Torah scholars. In the Haftorah of Parshas Vayera, we read the story of Isha Shunamis and her son, and when trying to figure out how to revive the deceased child, so he tells Gehazi, "V'samti mishanti al pnei hanar," which literally means what? That I put my stick on the face of the child, but in a deeper level means that he invokes her support of him, but nothing happens. Meaning, what it means is "V'samti mishanti." I placed her reliance on me, al pnei hanar, in my davening for the child. So the Meshech Chachma says, what is Elisha talking about? And he says that Elisha thought that the tchias hamesim of the boy would be possible in the merit of the hachnasus orachim that the Isha Shunamis did towards the Navi. In her merit, not my merit. She had such emuna, she was such a great person in her merit. However, the reality is that the Tchiyas HaMesim occurred be'amunasa hatamima b'hanavi, says the Meshech Chachma, because her emuna that the Tzaddik was able to bring back her son. And that's what Rechaim Kanievsky is referring to. Sometimes the tefillah of the Tzaddik is effective because of the emuna that we place in the ability of the Tzaddik. There's a Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and this is what I want to pivot to in the last few minutes of the discussion here. There's a remarkable series of Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Simen Chaf Tes Salamin Beis, 29 to 32. There are four tshuvas back and forth between Rabbi Akiva Eiger and his uncle, Wolf Eiger, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Lisa at that time. When Rabbi Akiva Eiger was 13, he went to his uncle's yeshiva to learn, and when he was 14, his uncle appointed him to be a Magid Shir in the yeshiva. He was 14. I want you to think about, like, the best 14-year-old you know. He's not giving Shir in the yeshiva in Lisa, okay? So that was Rabbi Akiva Eiger at the age of 14. When Rabbi Akiva Eiger was a chassan at 16, we're moving things along quickly here, so he was away from his uncle's yeshiva. And his uncle wrote him a Mazel Tov letter, and he said that because he wasn't able to attend the wedding as it was far away, at the same time of the chasana, the bachram in the yeshiva had a suda to celebrate with Rabbi Akiva Eiger while the chasana was going on at the same time. This is what is called in Chassidus Yeshivas, a chasna Rabbi Akiva Eiger. When the Bachram can't make it to their friend's chasna because it's in LA or somewhere else, it's far away, they can't make it there, the friends will hold the Suda at the same time the wedding's going on to show that they are being mishtatef, they're participating in some form. Now, that's not our point for right now. That was just a fun historical context. In those tshuvos, they discuss what was spoken about in learning at that Suda. Rav Wolf Eiger writes to his nephew, this is the discussion that occurred while celebrating your wedding from far away. The tafik was ksiva kedibor. Is writing something the same thing as speaking something in halacha, specifically regarding Sfiras HaOmer? If I write out hayom, yom, whatever, the day of Sfiras HaOmer, is that considered like I also counted it with my mouth? Again, it's not our discussion right now. In Simen Chav Tes, So the uncle opens with all of the brachos that they wish to young Rabbi Akiva Eiger on his chasna. And in the opening response, so Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes back to his uncle. U'tushua schein lachem l'uchvod chosno hagon, and all of my chen to uncover to all of you, my uncle Hagon Moreno Rav Yishaya, sorry, and to my uncle Rav Yishaya Pick, ula rabbanim agadolim al habracha, and to the great rabbis for all the blessings asher hoves ali mehem aydei kvod adoni dodi im michtavo that you sent through the letter of my uncle. And then he says, ekavel Hashem, I hope to Hashem ki tzadikim keilu amor v'gam v'kayim Hashem esvrayim. I hope to Hashem that the words of these tzaddikim, that the tzaddikim that they said, should be fulfilled by Kadosh Baruch Hu. The main thing Rabbi Akiva Eiger wants us to know is ve'ekvel Hashem. Don't get caught up and confused in the bracha of the tzaddik and the tzaddik davening for you and putting all of your eggs in the basket. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger to his family, the brachos are very nice. Ve'ekvel Hashem. But I'm still davening to a Kadosh Baruch Hu that those brachos should be real. Some of the stories of the tzaddik, they happened, they didn't happen. Some of them are accurate, some of them are not accurate. And sometimes the davening of the tzaddik doesn't come true, right? They don't fill a Gadol's biography with all the time people came to brachos for him, and it didn't come true. Those don't make it into the books. Statistically, it's going to happen time and again that Hashem says no to the tzaddik. And therefore says a young Rabbi Akiva Eiger, ve'ekvel Hashem, you have to daven yourself. Don't think that everything goes on the shoulders of the tzaddik and everything is up to him. Obviously, certain people have a davening that's more efficacious than others, and they can have their tefillos reach greater heights. But the main thing is, ve'ekvel Hashem. I have to daven to a Kadosh Baruch Hu to learn Torah, avodas Hashem with all our efforts. Look at the Ramban. The Ramban discusses the conversation between Yaakov and Rachel regarding having children. V'teir Rachel ki lo yalda liYaakov, right? Yaakov, Rachel's upset, and Yaakov gets upset at her, and they have a whole disagreement. Let's look at what the Ramban says over here. V'al derech hapshat, amra Rachel liYaakov shitein labanim, v'emes daita leimor shispal leha. According to the pshat, Rachel told Yaakov that he should give her children, and her intention was that he should continue to daven for her. However, she stated in such a way that in any case, he should daven for her until he would get her children. Right? Rachel put all of her eggs into the basket of Yaakov. And if you don't daven for her like this, she would bring upon her own death through the grief. She spoke inappropriately because of her jealousy of Leah. And she thought that in the great love for her, Yaakov would fast and put on sackcloth, ashes, and keep davening until she would have children, so that she would not die of the grief. And Yaakov was upset over the exaggerated expectation that the davening of a tzaddik is not in control to determine that everything will be listened to or answered in any case. The tzaddik is not a guarantee. And because she spoke in this way of longing of some women who are beloved to their husband, threatening him with their death, he became upset. And he said to her that I'm not in God's place. I can essentially end the difficulty of a barren woman no matter what. And he also told her he was not concerned about the matter because it was from her that the issue was and not from him. And he did this to rebuke her and to shame her for speaking inappropriately. And when the Rachel, the tzaddikess, when she understood this rebuke, that she cannot depend on his tefillah, shavel hispala al tzma, al shamea tzaka, and she went back to daven for herself, to the one who listens to our cries. V'zeo v'yishma aloha Elohim. And that's what it meant that Hashem listened to Rachel. Says the Ramban, you cannot think that somebody else is going to solve your davening issues. And Yaakov wanted to give Rachel that mussar, that lesson. And she took it to heart And therefore, that's why she was successful. Yeah.
She probably spoke about this. And he was, he brought
out a certain point. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
She did what she did in giving up for Rachel was according
correct.
To her nature, she needed to do something.
Yeah.
Nature. Right after that, I saw the Maharal. I've heard this in this year.
Yeah.
He brings it down in the Gerard. She, what did ultimately Yaakov told her to do? Right? She gave her hand.
So in Bamidbar, we find that Bnei Yisrael complained to Moshe again about being in the Midbar, and they were struck with the plague. We sinned. We spoke against Hashem. Removed the snake from us. Moshe Davin Baram for the nation. Make for this snake. And put it on a banner. So whoever was bidden will see it behind. They'll live. And he made this copper snake. And he put it on the banner. And we know the rest of the story. I'm just going to bring you from the English translation of the Oznaim Latorah from Zalman Zaruskin. Although the people had already sought Moses' aid to pray for their recovery, they had to act for themselves as well. Gazing at the copper serpent served as a form of prayer and contrition before Hashem. We learn an interesting lesson from this. It is not sufficient to ask a righteous person to pray on behalf of someone in distress. The person who is suffering must himself reach out to Hashem in prayer in order to be answered. A similar idea may be derived from the pasuk in Shmuel that I do not refrain from davening for you. In this pasuk, Shmuel intimates his use of the word also, that his prayers were only of secondary importance to comparison of their own. That is the point. As chashuv as it is that Moshe davened for Miriam, I'm sure that Miriam HaTzadekas davened for herself as well. Let's just end with a beautiful line from the hesped that Rishon Shuadron gave for the stipler. This is in the Ashkavti the Rebbe, which is a collection of Hespedim given for the stipler Gaon. Morai v'rabosai, said Rishon Shadron. Amram ha'isazu gzer min ha'shamayim. This is a decree from heaven. V'afal pichin harei kasuv v'mei meriva bigla alchem. V'olam shoel. What do you mean because of you? Harei hein lo haya bigla alchem. El mishum shel dibru al hasela. They didn't talk to the rock. What was the problem here? When there was a Moshe Rabbeinu, what did Bnei Yisrael say? Moshe will daven for it. The Tzaddik will take care of it. And Bnei Yisrael would forget they have to daven for Hashem themselves. I'm not saying, God forbid. This is my feeling. We always thought we have the stipler. People would go to the stipler for brachos and tefillos and things like that. The shachachnu shitzarach lispal about tzmenu. We forgot that we're supposed to daven for ourselves. Shachachnu eich lispal. We forgot how to daven. V'lomar kama kepitlach tilam to say tilam on our own. Miyodeah harei bezman achron sak rabenu. Ma'atem mevakshim lispalel. What do you need to daven for? Hispalu ba'aschem. Daven for yourself. And therefore, as chashuv as we see it is to daven and to go to a tzaddik and to ask a tzaddik, and the tzaddik's tefillos are efficacious and helpful, and it works in some way, either according to the Mabit, or the Ramah, or the Rambam, or the Tzitz Eliezer, or the Shevet HaLevi, whoever it may be. It's working, it's doing something. How does it work? We're not sure. But the Gemara says it works. And therefore we should do that. But that's secondary, that's tafel. The main thing is that we daven for ourselves, we increase our own daven, our own avoda, and that's the most effective thing that we can do.